Welcome to episode 171 of George's Random Astronomical Object. Every episode, I run a random number generator to select random astronomical coordinates in the sky, and I then search for an astronomical object near those coordinates and talk about what makes that object so interesting to astronomers. Now let's run the random number generator.
Oh.
The random number generator has returned the coordinates of 15 hours, 49 minutes, 49.2 seconds right ascension, and plus 21 degrees, 25 minutes, 40 seconds declination. This episode's coordinates point to the galaxy 3C324 in the constellation Serpens. 3C324 is another object from the Third Cambridge Catalog, which most astronomers consider to be the coolest catalog of astronomical radio sources ever compiled. It's not the best catalog of radio sources ever, but when it was compiled in 1959, it was truly groundbreaking. Galaxies these days use 3C names as a sign of prestige, sort of like how some people in the United Kingdom have knighthoods. Like a lot of radio sources in the Third Cambridge Catalog, people identified that 3C324 is a very distant galaxy containing an active galactic nucleus, or AGN, with a black hole millions or billions of times the mass of the Sun, a disk of gas falling into that black hole, and jets of ionized gas appearing above the poles of the AGN that are fueled by gas that doesn't make it into the black hole, but instead gets deflected by its magnetic fields. The electrons in the jets will oscillate around these magnetic fields, and this oscillation will produce strong radio emission. If you listened to my last episode, then this will sound very familiar, and that's because AGN come up a lot in astronomy. Even a lot of my research in the past month has involved AGN. These days, 3C324 seems sort of ordinary in terms of AGN, but back in the 1980s, it caused a lot of excitement, sort of like Cyndi Lauper. First, in 1983, it was identified as an abnormally bright radio source in terms of the total radio emission as seen from Earth. The next year, a redshift, as expressed by the letter Z, of 1.206 was measured for the galaxy, which means that because of the expansion of the universe, the light from 3C324 is stretched out by a factor of 2.206, or 1 plus z. This corresponds to a distance where the light has traveled for 8.57 billion years, but for reasons involving general relativity, this is not necessarily equivalent to a distance of 8.57 billion light years. Anyway, the combination of that distance and the observed relative brightness as seen from Earth implied that 3C324 was one of the most intrinsically bright radio sources in the universe that people knew about in the 1980s, which was rather impressive. However, this is not the end of what made 3C324 so exciting a few decades ago. In 1987, a group of authors led by Olivier Lefebvre published a paper in the journal Nature claiming that they had identified 3C324 as potentially a gravitationally lensed system. A gravitational lens is a situation where two galaxies line up in such a way that the light from the galaxy in the background gets gravitationally bent around the galaxy in the foreground. When this happens, the light from the background galaxy could appear in multiple locations around the foreground galaxy, or the light could be warped into the shape of an arc-like feature, or both of these things. This might sound like a very rare phenomena, but these days, lots of people have found gravitational lenses all over the place. For example, my last two astronomy papers were on gravitational lenses. My next astronomy paper is also going to be on gravitational lenses, and I even have gravitational lens wallpapers that I made myself on my phone. In the 1980s, however, very few gravitational lenses had been identified, So every discovery of a new gravitational lens was really exciting. So back to 3C324. This object was identified as a gravitational lens on the basis that the radio emission originated from two different sources and that spectroscopic observations in the visible part of the electromagnetic spectrum had shown that the object actually appeared to have two different redshifts, 0.845 and 1.206, meaning that the light was stretched out to 1.845 times and 2.206 times its original size. The double images looked consistent with how a foreground galaxy would bend light from a background galaxy in the gravitational lens, while the two redshifts implied that 3C324 consisted of two objects lined up with each other. As a bonus, the very strong radio emission from the galaxy could be explained by magnification effects caused by gravitational lensing. However, 3C324 did not turn out to be a gravitational lens after all. Instead, it just happened to be a spiral galaxy in front of another more distant galaxy with an AGN. The two separate radio sources from the background galaxy are not caused by light being warped by the foreground galaxy, but instead, the two separate radio sources correspond to two separate jets of gas that have been ejected from the AGN in the background galaxy in directions perpendicular to our line of sight. So 3C324 turned out to be a false positive. After all of this controversy, people would continue to look at 3C324 for a while, and a few papers were published about a cluster of galaxies around 3C324 circa the year 2000, but otherwise, people seem to have lost interest. If you are interested in the location on the Earth's surface that corresponds to the position of 3C324 in the sky, it is an area of the Pacific Ocean slightly under 1,300 kilometers west-southwest of the tip of Baja California. This might seem like another boring, anonymous part of the Pacific, but it's actually near a major sea route between East Asia and the Panama Canal. This should keep your attention if you're really into containerized shipping. The website for this podcast is www.randomastronomicalobject.com. You can visit the website to read information about the astronomical objects, view images of those astronomical objects, look up additional reference information, and send me random feedback. The audio was recorded and edited by George Bendo. The music is Immersion by Sasha Endy, and the sound effects are from the Freesounds Project at www.freesounds.org. Thanks for listening.